Thank you very much, Fernando. I want to thank all of you for being here, because today, to find one speaker is very easy, but to find attendance is really very difficult. So thank you for being here. I'm quite sure that many of you probably recognize this picture, that this was color, pallor color, in the patients in the 80s. In every hospital, everybody they knew that the patients they belonged to the renal unit. Why? At that time we couldn't do anything with this group, having patients with hemoglobin 7, 8, and it's a lot amount of transfusion. We couldn't do anything. It's the same as you have a. Look at the construction site. You need workers, you need materials. So we had at that time workers, but we didn't have any materials. The workers were us at that time. So we needed HEPO and we needed iron together to work together, and we couldn't do anything. So that's what the old times, and now we have the possibility to prescribe ISAs and to prescribe safe IV iron. We know that in patients on hemodialysis, they lost between 2 grams and 3 grams per year in iron. So in order to keep as they are, we need to prescribe between 2 grams and 3 grams of iron in hemodialysis patients. They lost a lot of iron coming from the filters of the blood tests, or even some of them, they have blood on the stools. So we need to organize the therapy just considering this amount of losses. And we know as well that the chronic kidney disease patient, not on dialysis, they have important problems for oral absorption. They are receiving phosphate binders. They are receiving omeprazole, and they are oxidated and inflamed, and in consequences, epsidine did not allow to have a normal absorption. So we have a problem with iron that we need to solve in our patient. So that iron deficiency is really, really very important in our patient, between 40% and 70%, depending of where we're looking, where are iron deficiencies. So what are the guidelines and recommendations that we have? Very, very early in the first guidelines, it always settles the subject, what to do about iron. May serve as the primary therapy, not be limited to patients with evidence of iron deficiency only, and then it helps to minimize the dose of ESA that nowadays seems to be very important. That was the KDOQI guidelines in 2006. But after the TREAT study, if you look at the TREAT study and you make a concentration in the placebo group, you can see how the placebo group, they did not receive ESA. Just 46% received just one rescue therapy, right? But the majority of them, they do not receive ESA. And then they receive iron, the same as, I mean, a little bit higher doses that the dapagliflozin alpha group. And however, you can see that only with iron, there is an important increase in hemoglobin, so that even at the end of the trial, The mean hemoglobin in the placebo group was 11.3, which is just within the recommended target today. So that's the reason why the European Renal Best Practice Group, we developed a position statement emphasizing the first 3 points, emphasizing what important is iron as a therapy. In particularly, that only once the iron store have been repleted should ESA therapy be initiated. Also, the NICE guidelines in 2011, so this year, again, they emphasize the optimized iron status before initiating ESA and during maintenance treatment with ESA as well, in order to reduce ESA doses. So it's very, very important in the clinical guidelines recommendation, the importance of iron. So, but what about iron oral or IV? I am a, you know, old rocker nephrologist, and I've been dealing with patients for many, many years. I know that oral iron, it works. But IV iron, it works better. So let's see what we have. What are the problem with oral iron, or the adverse events? We know that some patients, they do not tolerate oral iron. Some of them, they tolerate oral iron. I'm talking about chronic kidney disease patients, not on dialysis. Lower compliance, limited absorption, already commented about that, and also inflammation. But on the other side, the IV iron, you have to prescribe by IV route, which is makes some kind of difficulties as well, and also the cost. So this is a balance that we have to decide. If we look at the different studies, uncontrolled studies with iron, IV iron, in patients with CKD and anemia, we, in all of them, whatever is iron sucrose or intravenous ferric carboxy maltose, in all of them, there is an increase in hemoglobin levels, and also there is an increase in a reduction in ESA doses. So these are uncontrolled studies. But if you look at the randomized control trial comparing IV iron with oral iron, in all of them, we see that there is a important advances, important superior results comparing in favor of IV iron. In all of them, apart from only one study of that. But IV iron, it's superior to oral iron, although in some patients, they can be prescribed oral iron if they tolerate it. But IV iron, in all studies, they are definitely better. This study, this is a random meta-analysis showing why in patients not on dialysis, there is a weighted mean differences in favor on IV iron with an increase in 0.3 grams per deciliter in hemoglobin. But if we look at the bottom in dialysis patient, comparing oral iron versus IV iron, the differences in increasing hemoglobin is 0.8, and also there is a reduction in ESA doses, reduction of 28 units per kilograms. So the conclusion of this randomized study is that the patient on hemodialysis had better hemoglobin response when treated with IV iron. For a patient with CKD, this effect is small. So if we look at this study comparing with ferric carboxy maltose, patient not on dialysis, with a hemoglobin lower than 11, serum ferritin lower than 300, and saturation lower than 25% with a stable ESA doses, and they compare one arm with ferric carboxy maltose and the other arm with oral iron. And you can see the percentage of subjects achieving hemoglobin over 1 gram per deciliter. And at different days, you can see the differences are very important. So IV iron is definitely better than oral iron. There are the mean for hemoglobin, ferritin, and saturation. And the conclusion of this study is that 1 gram of iron as ferric carboxy maltose can be rapidly administered, is more effective, and is better tolerated than oral iron for treatment on iron deficiency patient and non-dialysis. So this is already included in the NICE guidelines of 2011, again showing that the serum ferritin between 200 and 500, this is what they recommend, and this is, in practice, it's very difficult to achieve with oral iron, and all these patients, they will require IV iron. I'm quite sure that you are very aware of this study. There are patients with a heart failure and iron deficiency. How many of patients with heart failure do we in the nephrology see every year? No, dozens of patients with heart failure. And this study includes patients either with chronic kidney disease or without chronic kidney disease. And they include patients as well with anemia, without anemia. But all of them, they are included with iron deficiency. And there are two arms. The one arm receiving IV iron, ferric carboxy maltose, and the other ones weekly saline. The patient, they are not aware. This is a blinded study for the patient. And the results of this, the basic line demographics comparing the ones that receive IV iron versus placebo in terms of hemoglobin, ferritin, transferrin saturation, and GFR are very similar. You can see here what is the primary end of the study is an improvement in patient global assessment score and is a reduction in New York heart functional class. And also, there is a better result when considering the 6-minute walking test and the quality of life. And this is a very interesting slide. You know, up to now, nobody has shown that improving iron stores or improving anemia improves renal function. We don't have any study showing that. But at least we have with this study that the impact of IV ferric carboxy maltose on renal function is not deleterious at all. So I wouldn't say there is an improvement in chronic in GFR, but there is a situation with it is safe for renal function. And wherever is the group of patients we compare in terms of hemoglobin, ferritin, H, and so on, the treatment effect of GFR, it is always the same. So this quality of life sub-analysis as well in this study show that the positive effects were seen after 4 weeks and were independent of anemia status and independent of the presence or not of CKD. Today, we the nephrologists, we are taking care of patients with heart failure, treated by internists and by cardiologists. They are resistant to diuretics. And we keep this patient. We perform isolated holotropic filtration for just one session. We restore iron stores. We prescribe vitamin D. And the results are definitely very good. We are ongoing with these observational studies. So the final conclusion of this FAIR study is the treatment with intravenous ferric carboxy maltose in patients with chronic heart failure and iron deficiency, with or without anemia, improves symptoms, functional capacity, quality of life, and the side effect profile is acceptable. Now we are ongoing another study. This study, which is the FINE CKD study, the hypothesis is that the use of IV iron in patients not on dialysis with iron deficiency anemia will provide effective hemoglobin correction to postpone the use of ESA therapy or the use of transfusion. And this study is based on the data that we get from the TREAT study. There are three arms, one arm receiving ferric carboxy maltose high doses in order to a ferritin target between 400 and 600. The other ferric carboxy maltose low doses in order to keep 100 to 200 the ferritin target. And finally, a third group receiving oral iron. I don't want to go into details of this study, but it could be very interesting. Look at what are the primary objectives of this study, which are evaluate the long-term efficacy of ferric carboxy maltose or oral iron to delay or to reduce ESA uses and other anemia management options such as transfusion and so on. So I want to just to finish with the message to take home is that guidelines always recommend iron for chronic kidney disease. Guidelines now recommend IV iron to ensure a patient that iron replete before ESAs uses. And ferric carboxy maltose provide large doses of IV iron to improve quality of life without affecting renal function. And finally, last study I present to you, the FIND-CKD study, will further our acknowledgement on the efficacy and safety of IV iron. Thank you very much for attending.